God, Lord, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we have so many times things to think of ourselves and to pray for. And God, you desire to hear them, and you give personal attention to each one of our desires and requests as a Heavenly Father. Lord, we know that you desire to give us good gifts. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And as we bring our petition before you, may we not be slow to stop and to consider the goodness of our God. And Lord, your benevolence towards us and your grace upon us. And Lord, we just want to stop and thank you for it. Lord, we ask that you just would be with the needs that were mentioned this morning. Lord, we think of the Matheny family and many of our missionaries, God, that need your mighty hand at work in their ministry, just as we do here. And so we ask that you just would be with them today. We ask that you'd be with any gospel witness, any gospel preacher that is going to stand today, and Lord, that's going to preach the gospel straight. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would bless it, and Lord, that you would move, that men might come to know you as their personal Savior. And then, Lord God, we thank you for Miss Marlene's cousin. God, we prayed this last week for her. And Lord, I thank you for, Lord, testimony of Miss Chris this morning, saying how she has some things that she had shared on Wednesday. God, you had intervened and worked in her life as well. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you just continue to be with Michael as he has a family that is ill. Lord, I pray you just be with his brother, his nephew, and then his aunt. Lord God, all of them, would you work on them and help them? And Lord, then be helping him to be able to get employment that he's seeking. And would you bless and work there on his behalf? Lord God, just ask that you just would be with us time as we open your word together, that we might be able to learn and to grow and to be able to be admonished from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's take our lesson this morning. And I want you to find two passages of scripture to start with. And my nose is a little runny, so I just want you, if I wipe my mouth, I'm doing it with this one, just so nobody's bothered the whole time, because some people get bothered. And then I have this to touch on my nose, okay? Just don't want anybody to be bothered by that, okay? And I know somebody will be, come up and say something later. But Deuteronomy 6, I know that's not on the top of your lesson, but go ahead and just find it this morning, and then find Ephesians in chapter number 6. We're going to flip over there and read in Ephesians chapter 6 as well as we get going this morning. And if you would follow along with me as I begin to read in Ephesians in chapter number 6. In Deuteronomy 6, we'll start in Deuteronomy 6, and then I'll go to Ephesians chapter 6, Deuteronomy 6, it says this in verse number 1, "Now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy sons and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And so we understand this command that is given, and I think it's numerous times, there's the commandments, the command, if you will, the instruction that has been given to parents of how they should train and teach their children in the ways and the commands of Almighty God. And it's very much a command, an admonition that is given here. Go over to Ephesians in chapter number 6. Ephesians in chapter number 6. Ephesians 6. It says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And we understand this promise given back in Deuteronomy 6. There is blessing that comes with obedience. There is blessing that is upon the one that is going to live a life of obedience. That's going to be for any child. That's for my children, your children, and God's children. We live in obedience to Him. Then there is going to be blessing upon our life. And then it goes on to say this. Look at verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. By way of introduction, it is not an uncommon thing in the day that we live to find a strained relationship between parents and their children. That is not an uncommon thing. In fact, it would be, I would say this, the norm that children and parents kind of do not get along, that there is a rebellion on the side of the children, and it's sadly become so much the norm in our society today that it's become acceptable. That kind of relationship where kids and parents kind of have this falling away, a pulling away, and maybe they come back together after they've gone a little far in their adult life, and they kind of get to a place where they start seeing things from mom and dad's perspective. But this kind of rebellion against mom and dad and the authority of the home is almost to be an expected thing in majority of households of America today. The fight for who will be in charge is very real. In the home, the fight for who will be in charge is very real. Sadly, in America today, the kids rule the home that God has placed the parents in to rule. The children rule most homes. What the kids want, the kids' schedule, the kids' desires, the kids' demands, that's what rules the home. That's what guides the home in the direction that it goes. Kids today are used to getting their way at home, and they don't at all understand why they don't get their way everywhere else. You look at most college campuses today, especially as we're coming up on another election, or you can think back to 2016 and remember the news of college campuses around America when the president they didn't want got elected, and this is not their president, and they were doing marches and burning things. I mean, even burning an effigy of the president. I mean, to show their disdain and their disgust. Because they didn't get their way and the way they wanted. And so the reason they think they can act like that is because they've been allowed to act like that. No. They grew up in homes that allowed them to act in such a way that if we act out, we get our way. Well, guess what? That's not real life. It's not. You can act all you want. They can throw all the fits they want, but Trump didn't turn around and leave office just because they threw a hissy fit. But listen, they've been trained of parents. They've been trained of parents that when we throw a hissy fit, people act and people respond and things happen when we throw a hissy fit. That's how most kids in America today are being raised. And you don't have to like Trump. I'm not saying that. You don't have to like the fact that, you know, he's defunded Planned Parenthood. You don't have to like that at all. You don't have to like the fact that he shows up at pro-life rallies and he supports the right to life and supports that we wouldn't abort babies. You don't have to like that at all. You don't have to like at all the fact that your 401ks are doing better. You don't have to like all these things that he's done. Don't have to like him at all. I mean, don't for one second think it's okay that, you know, for the first time in, you know, since 1960, whatever it was, that we can pray in school again. You don't have to support that one bit. You can be upset with him all you do like because he tweets. That's fine. Anyway, we'll move on. I'll get off my soapbox. Kids today are used to getting their way. In Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse number 4, it gives a primary command, and I use that a primary command. It's a primary command to the fathers to raise the children in the nurture an admonition of the Lord. I want to say this. I know it's given to the fathers. If it's a single parent home, don't act like, well, this doesn't apply to me. No, no, no. It's given to the fathers, and part of America's problem today is that we've had fathers leave the home and fathers have not done their job. That's a grave problem in America today, because this primary command was directed at fathers and it was given to fathers. But don't for one second act like it's negated because the father's not in the home. No, the importance of the nurture and admonition of the Lord is very important for a child to grow up in. Nurture means this. It means education of training. Education of training. See, that's wonderful. We're to educate our children. It's never been the government's responsibility to educate any children. It's never been the government's responsibility. It's been the home's responsibility. But it goes on to this as this: education of training, by implication, disciplinary correction. And that's where most parents get lost. I mean, you mean I am responsible for the discipline of my child's education? Yes, you are responsible to make sure they are disciplined in their education. I am responsible as a parent to make sure that they are being, in a way, trained that is disciplinary. No, that there's a discipline to it. It doesn't mean that I walk around with a stick and put dunce hats on their heads all day long and slap them on the wrist with a ruler. That's not what we're talking about. But it's talking about having structure. There is a nurture. There is a structure to life, and that we learn to live within a structure. That we learn that there are boundaries and there are guidelines, and also this, that there are consequences for getting outside of the guidelines and outside of the boundaries. And so we understand this in the idea of nurturing. We are educating or training with a disciplinary correction. That we have some boundaries to life. That's nurture. Admonition calls attention, but it also brings this. It is a calling attention. It should be mild rebuke or warning. Sorry about the typo. Mild rebuke or warning. And so we understand this, that there is a point where a parent just goes too far in their correction. There's a point where someone crosses a line because it says there is a mild. That would help us to understand that there should be a seriousness to it. Irks me, I guess is the right way to say it. When you go to a store and you see a child being disruptive and the parent laughing about it, you better get over here. I've counted to three, four times now, and you better get over here. That, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that kind of admonition. When a child's doing something wrong, they should know that you're serious. Not that you're angry and yelling and that, man, they're going to get it when they get home. That's not what I'm talking about, striking fear. But a mild admonition, a mild rebuke or warning calls them to a serious nature of what they're doing as a violation of mom and dad. Calls to their attention to that. We are given command by the authority of God to bring them up. This means, parents, that we are to give attention to their nurture and admonition, and that they are to be raised up in the Lord. That's what we started in Deuteronomy 6. He's like, you're to teach them the commands of God. You're to teach them the Word of God. You're to teach them the ways of God. You can almost get this kind of idea. It was God's intentions that sons and sons' sons were going to learn who He was and learn His mind and His heart for them by the parents that God had put in their life. That God was going to use me to teach my sons who He is. And God was going to allow me the opportunity to be His mouthpiece to my sons and to my children that they might be able to know more about Him. Children are never intended by God to raise themselves. We have generations now of children in America that have raised themselves. Children have never been intended in America or by God or anywhere else in this world, time, place, and anything. They've never been given the right of being their own authority. They've never been given that right. God's always placed a parent in the authority of a child and given a parent a responsibility of training that child and teaching that child that they might be able to know who he is better. And so we have to assume the authority and the role that God has given you as an authority over a child. It needs to be assumed. It's been vacated today. It's been vacated. Its parents have just up and left the God-given a command that they have had to train children. And we've got to get back to a place where we have an understanding of authority. So number one, we want to look at confusion about authority. Confusion about authority. Our culture does not like authority. It doesn't like authority at all. As a culture, we have a problem with authorities. This is most clearly seen in our discomfort with authority in the home. That kids don't want to be told what to do. If my child ever tells you that, if you go up to my kid and they ever say, and they've been foolish enough to say this a few times, "You're not my mom. You're not my dad." They foolishly said that a couple times. Guess what? Guess what? You know what a child that looks at someone else that says, you can't tell me what to do? You know what they're saying is that they are going to choose what authority they're going to listen to. And I can promise you, my kids don't listen to me as any better than they probably listen to anybody. Sometimes. There has to be a training there. They have to be brought up. If Sean says that to you, I'll skin him. But, I'm telling you, as you're growing up, I've heard those foolish words come out of their mouth. You understand what that is a sign of, is that there is a rebellion still in the heart. There is a rebellious attitude towards authority that has to be brought under control. We need biblical understanding of authority. These are some questions that we need to ask when we're trying to establish a biblical concept of authority. Number one, what is the manner of parents' authority over a child? Is parents' authority absolute or relative? That's a good one. Is it absolute, or is it just kind of like, well, it's just kind of what roles I want to take, and well, my child's different, and my circumstances are different, or are there some absolutes in the things that you are to be training and into the admonition into which they are supposed to be given? Is the authority, number three, vested in the parent because of their relative size difference, parent to child? You have to obey me because I'm bigger and I can make you. Is that the only reason that a child need to obey? Because the reality is one day they might be bigger than you. They just might. Number four, are parents in charge because they are smarter and more experienced? My life experience and my intelligence. I'm telling you, already today at 14, Sean knows more than I do on a lot of subjects. I'm amazed at the steel trap of his mind where he reads something, he listens to something, he loves watching history shows, he enjoys them, and then he can rattle off the information like nobody's business. It amazes me how much he can hold in his brain and how much he remembers. And he's say something to me, and I've gotten to the point even at 14 where I'll Google him before I'll disagree with him on some things. He tells me something about history, and I'll be like, "Nope, you're wrong." And I got Google to back me up on it. Not because I knew it, just because I. But anyhow, another question: are we called to rule because we are not sinners and they are? We really know the answer to that, don't we? Do we have the right to tell our kids to do anything we don't want them to do? I'm telling you, we live in a day of unempowered parents that have turned over the rule of their home to their kids. They've let the kids rule, run things, and they've just kind of been going to work, making all the money to provide everything that the kids want. That's not how God intended it to be. No, God intended for you to take command of children, that children didn't have command of you. These questions are important to answer concerning your God-given duty to God and your children. You have a God-given duty given by God to you for Him and for them. He's given you this opportunity. If you are unsure about the nature and the extent of your authority, your children will suffer. And children will suffer. You say, well, what do you mean they'll suffer? I mean, as long as they get the Xbox they wanted, they get the activities they want, they get the bike they want, they get the this they want, the that they want. No, no, no. Understand with me, the blessings that were talked about in Deuteronomy 6 and the blessings of Ephesians 6 don't come by them just getting everything that they demand you get them. They come by obedience to the commands that you have given them by God. It's not really even about you, mom and dad, as much as it is about them knowing him, about him knowing his commands, and them being able to understand that as you are obedient to God and they are obedient to God, then listen, you can both be blessed of God, but if they're not going to be obedient to you and you're not going to be obedient to him, guess what? You can experience hell on earth in a home. You really can. I'm not trying to be blasphemous there. I'm just telling you, most people do not know what heaven in their home is all about because they themselves as parents aren't following the commands of God. If they aren't following the commands of God, there's no way in the world they're going to be able to train their children to follow the commands of God if they're not following them as well in their own life. You must, number three, you must know and set ground rules that are not changing. Our God changes not. He set some ground rules and some commands that don't change. And so you need to know God's mind on some things and God's mind on some subjects and then set some ground rules that are not going to change. They will never learn the absolute principles of God's word that alone teach wisdom if you do not teach them. If they don't see them in your life, if they're not, you don't communicate them to them directly. B, the culture does not have a biblical understanding of authority. The culture does not have a biblical understanding, that's that second blank, of authority. Number one, they think authority is derived from overwhelming force or consent. That somebody is submissive to authority because they were overwhelmed, because they were beat down, because they were like a puppy hiding in a corner that they're scared to death, and there before because of their fear, they have consented unto authority, and that sadly might be a case for some children. It sadly might be the case. It's never God's intent. God doesn't beat anybody into a corner and force them to serve him. God's a gentleman about calling you unto service. Authority is responded to in our culture with rebellion and servility. It's responded to with rebellion and servility, meaning that we might do it, but only because we're forced to do it, as if we were a slave to, we have to follow this authority, we have to. No, you don't have to follow the authority. You don't have to follow the speed limit. You don't have to. You can speed. You might get pulled over and get a ticket, but you can speed. You don't have to do it, and there are consequences, aren't there? There are boundaries. There are guidelines. There's some law and some commands that are established to keep you from doing it any old way you want. And so some people, I say, well, this is the totalitarian government that is over us. No. Quite honestly, it's a reality that when people drive really fast on a street and take corners really fast, and I mean honestly there's some real serious consequences that can come of that when you run, you know, well, the train's not coming, so I'll just sneak through on the through these barricades and I'll get across the tracks. Yeah, that's how brains get scooped up beside tracks, because you didn't see the train coming, even though the barricades were down telling you, lights were dinging, the sirens were going off telling you there was a train coming. You thought you could sneak through. I want you to understand that not all authority and not all the rules and not all the boundaries, this is how America feels today. This is our culture we live in today. All of them are bad, and if we submit ourselves to them, then we are just slaves to our government. We're just slaves to our parents, and that's just not a reality. It's not. No intelligent thinking person would willingly place themselves under someone else's authority. That's the world we live in today. They don't want authority. I was trying to stay out of politics. Never mind. I'll move on. All right. They think freedom is found in autonomy. That I am my own being. No one tells me what to do. No one sets guidelines or boundaries for me. I am a free moral agent to freely do as I choose and please. That's where they find freedom. But listen to me. It's only found in obedience that one truly has liberty. That's the only place it's going to be found, that one is truly at liberty when they're abiding under the obedience that is of the authorities that have been set over them. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 44 and 45. It says this: "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk," look at this, "at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." There's a walking at liberty in keeping the law or the commands of God. It's only found there. You're not going to do it yourself. You're not going to live in autonomy under yourself and find yourself walking in liberty. And so we have to understand this. Number two, we are called to be in charge. As a parent, you are called to be in charge. We're going to talk about this a little more. We're running out of time. But you understand, that doesn't mean you're called to have the loudest voice in the room. I'm smiling. Doesn't mean you're called to yell, I can scream louder than you. It doesn't mean you're called to wield a paddle or a rod of correction better than they can. Understand with me, you're called to be in charge. As a parent, you have authority, listen to this, because God calls you to be an authority. Say, well, where do I get this authority? I just have it because I'm a parent? Yes, because God has given you children, because God's placed children in your life. You have authority given by God over that child, to train that child, not in your own ways, not in your own mind, and not in your own thinking, but in the ways of the Lord, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You have a God-given authority in your child's life. You have authority to act on behalf of God, because God wants them to learn His ways, His statutes, His precepts, His commands, and He's going to use you to do it. He's going to use you as the authority by which they might be able to learn of Him. You act as it, at His command. You discharge duty that He has given. You are not shaping lives as you please, but as it pleases Him. As a parent, you are shaping lives as it pleases Him, not as it pleases you. These are the things I think my child should know. No, He's given you His word of the things that they should know. He's given you these things. Genesis in chapter 18 and verse number 19. Abraham is blessed of God because of the command of his children that he would take. It says, I'll read it to you, Genesis 18. 19. It says this. It says, "For I know him that he will command." Oh man, it sounds just very totalitarian. It sounds like a dictatorship. No, it's a God-given authority. If you haven't figured out this in life, we're going to talk about this in the next hour. God still thinks he's God, and God's always been in control. No, I mean, God's still in control. He's never been out of control, and he's never going to lose control. This is not about totalitarianism. It's not about one having this extreme power and rule over another. It's about a God-given authority of the things that God would allow and desire for any child to be brought up in, namely, his commands. And so he is commending Abraham, for he knew that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep his way, and they'll do it exactly how Abraham says. No, that they will keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, and the Lord might bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken unto him. He knew that Abraham was going to allow them to know who he is. It wasn't about Abraham, and it wasn't about Abraham having the power and Abraham being in control and Abraham having this stranglehold upon his children that they would never forget who's in charge. Not what it was about. is that he knew that they would be commanded in the ways of the Lord, and that he would guide them in the ways of the Lord, and that they would have that in their life. He knew God's. He is on God's errand. He is performing a task of God's agenda. He is not freelancing. He's not making things up as he goes. He's just simply, listen, this is the word of God. And continually bring them back to the word of God. Continue bring a child from a place of rebellion and a place where they do not desire to follow authority to a place of understanding. Listen, this is why we do it this way. I honestly believe that's where a lot of children are lost, is because we think that they have to follow us because we have said and we put our foot down and we've screamed about it and we've yelled about it. And understand with me, they don't have to follow us because we screamed, yelled, and stomped our foot and put it down about anything, but they are going to stand in judgment before God. And so when we set boundaries in our home and we set some precepts in our home and we say, listen, these are the guiding principles of our home, we need to then take the child to the word of God and go, and this is why. You know, dad's ideas might be really weird out here in this world, you know, and we don't just dress any old way we want to, but this is why. And no, we don't go and party with, you know, the neighbors on Saturday night. And listen, let's go to the Word of God and we're going to find out why. And you say, well, what are you doing? You're trying to help them understand from the admonition of the Word of God that, listen, this isn't acceptable for you. It's not acceptable for me, because we're both going to be accountable to God. It's getting them back to this idea of the boundaries that God has set. It's not freelancing. There might be some things, I'm not saying this, there might be some things in every individual home that are specific to that home, but be honest about them. Be honest about them. If you have a certain way you want it done, all right, you need to be honest with your children. Listen, these are commands of God. This is just something that's a pet peeve of moms. And that should be understandable. And that's okay for you to have your, you know, it annoys me when, you know, people, you know, I don't know, put the dishes, stack the dishes in a certain way. You can have things that are specific to you. There's no problem with that. But help them understand, and I try to encourage all the time, at least have some kind of a biblical principle. If you're a clean freak, you say cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the Bible. I mean, that's not a verse taken from the Bible. I think the house should be clean. There's not, don't get me wrong, but that's not like, hey, here's scripture on it, children, and this is why this place is. I mean, we could eat off our floors and off our toilets because of this verse. No, you just might be a clean freak. Might be, all right, but don't make your children, I mean, we're going to suffer because I am a neat freak, okay? Don't make the rest of us suffer either. Not all of us are as neat as you, all right? So he's not writing, he's not freelancing, he's not writing on his own, he's not writing out his own job description. Well, I'm dad, or I'm mom, and I'll tell you why. And then you give your own personal reasons instead of directing your children to God's word. God defines the tasks, and Abraham acts in God's behalf. You understand that? God, for Abraham, said, this is what I want done. This is my mind. This is my desire. Abraham wasn't just left there to figure it out all on his own or all by himself. He was there to undo and there to act as God had commanded and God had instructions. And so we're going to continue talking about this in a couple weeks. I'm sorry, we're going to have to break. I thought we'd get through this today. I don't know why, but I thought we would. But listen, most important thing we need to understand is that kids don't run the show. They don't. God's put you in charge. That's the title of the lesson. You're in charge. And we need to act like that. God's placed me in a position of authority as a parent, not to do my own bidding, but to help those children learn how to do God's bidding. Clue you in on the rest of the lesson. If I'm not doing God's work, if I'm not fulfilling God's command in my life, I cannot teach my children to do so either. It's got to start with my obedience if I'm ever going to expect their obedience. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed today. We'll go over and get some refreshments. Dear God, thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray, would you help us see Bible answers for why we do what we do? God, would we seek that we might be able to have the security of the word of God on every subject? that we might be able to be guided by you and be taught by you, that we might be able to be teachers and trainers to our children that you've placed under us. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this day you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.